Available online at WBAI.org. Coming up next, The Positive Mind with Armand DeMille.
This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. One of the huge confusions that people have nowadays is about emotions. Emotions, such a funny story, emotions, because, you know, how often do you hear about somebody saying to their mate, I want you to be more sensitive? Usually it's a woman talking to a man, saying to a man, I want you to be more sensitive. I want you to have more feelings. I want you to feel more. And the man says, I don't know what you're talking about. I feel a lot of things. Well, but you're not sensitive to my feelings is the argument. And it's a confusion. Something happened in our society where men feel wrong for not feeling what they're supposed to feel. So I thought, you know, maybe men are wrong. Maybe they are wrong, you know. Maybe all men are wrong. And maybe what we need to do is give them an education on what it is that what feelings are about. Or maybe everybody has to learn what feelings are about because everybody seems to be confused. If you ask people what they feel, they rarely tell you what they feel. A feeling. What is a feeling? A feeling is something you feel. That's kind of simple, isn't it? That's why they call it a feeling. A feeling is something that you feel on the, and you have to feel it somewhere. So if you want to feel sad, or if you feel sad, you feel sad. What does sad feel like? Well, all of you know what sad feels like. It's like a depletion of energy. You could feel yourself dragging through the floor. You almost feel like crying. Sad, a definite, definite sensorium. You know what feeling sad is like? Angry. You know what angry is like? Well, for most people, anger is a tension that you feel in your jaw. You feel tension, you feel, you know, you feel like you're at war, you know. And you have these tense muscles and your blood is rushing and anger. Guilt. Well, how do you feel guilt? There's a confusing one for you. You try to feel guilt. Well, you see, you can't feel guilt. You could feel sad. But you have to think guilt. In order to feel guilt, you have to think, I am guilty, and then it makes you feel guilty. And then you have this feeling, but what is the feeling you have? Very often you could be guilty and you could feel powerless, you could feel sad, you could feel any number of things, but you don't feel guilt. So now this becomes a confusion. What's the difference between thinking and feeling? So often I'll ask somebody, what do you feel? And they'll tell me what they think. How do you distinguish between the two? That's what I'm going to be showing you today, the difference between thinking and feeling. And this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Back to feelings, right? Let's talk about feelings. So there are a number of feelings that everybody has and you can have and they're very easy to have. But how could you distinguish between a feeling and a thought? Now, when you're little, you have feelings. And you go to your mother and you say to your mother or your father, I feel this way or that way. And they're either going to welcome it or not welcome it. If you say, I feel happy, most parents will welcome it. Except if you have a depressed father, he says, what are you so happy about? Well, there goes saying I'm happy, right? And I'll give you something to feel sad about. or even I feel sad. I know many children who get punished for feeling sad. If they cry, the parents punish them. I'll give you something to cry about. Yeah. I feel angry. Well, in certain families, you don't have any right to get angry. Don't you dare get angry. Angry is not allowed, especially in Connecticut. It's not allowed. It's not an allowable emotion. We have to shut that off because it's not a refined way to be. You get our disapproval if you get angry. So anger is not allowed. I feel jealous. Oh, you're not allowed to feel that either. That's another one we take away. So here's what happens as we grow up. Most people have feelings that are not convenient to the people who are in charge. The parents, the teachers. Outrage. Insult. You know, somebody does something to you that humiliates you. And you feel this kind of outrage and anger. And they say you shouldn't. You have to bury it. You have to keep it down. So early in life, you are taught, most of you are taught, that your feelings are unwelcome. And the only kind of feelings that you could be allowed to feel are feelings that are either not there or feelings that are exaggerated. Now, there are people who have very exaggerated feelings, and they go around and they can feel what they want because their feelings are exaggerated. For example, histrionic people. People who are hysterical all the time, and they have a life of drama, and they're crying, and it's so intense, and they're depressed. Their feelings are so intense that people validate them. People say, oh, look how much you feel. Truth of it is, somebody who's hysterical feels less than a person who is not. We'll talk about that. I'll continue with that. How about angry people? You know, a person who walks around very angry, people say, look how angry he is. But they stay away from him because they're afraid he's dangerous. So there are certain feelings that, if they're exaggerated, get allowable in public, and that's why you have people walking out there who exaggerate their emotions. Exaggerated sense of remorse, exaggerated sense of vulnerability, exaggerated senses. Most other people look at their feelings and they think to themselves, these feelings don't work so well with the people around me, so I'm going to figure out what to do instead of feeling these feelings. So let's say you're a child and your mother says to you, your father's leaving. He's not coming back. Now, there you are, a kid, and you're feeling very upset by what you just heard, but you know you're not allowed to get upset. So you figure something out in your mind. Most children use their mind to try to figure out what was the alternative to feelings. Get this? This is a very important theory here. Most children use their thinking to figure out what would be an alternative to feeling, because feeling wasn't welcomed. You know, crying and your mother is there and she's trying to take care of you wasn't welcomed. So you had to figure out what to do. But think about who's doing the figuring. A three-year-old child is doing the figuring. The three-year-old child becomes a master of the human condition. A little child says, well, I better not cry because it'll upset mommy, so what'll I do? I know what I'll do. I'll do some homework. They think, and by thinking, they get rid of the feelings. So there are people who we know who think all the time. The expression is, you're all up in your head. They just think and think and think and think. There are those who are, you know, the ones who like to be very private, and they become experts on everything, and they become, you know, the people who are very, very private, and they think all the time. They're thinking about where the enemy is. They think about how they could perfect things. They think all the time. There's another group of people who are always thinking about, what should I be thinking? What should the decision be? And they're always trying to make decisions. And there's a third group of people who are always thinking about where the next party is. How do I get out of this situation? How do I escape? Those are thinking types of people. They're not feeling types of people. The feeling types of people, when they feel very deeply, but it's very confusing. So how do you know the difference between thinking and feeling, okay? A common confusion generated by the English language is our use of the word feel without actually expressing a feeling. For example, in a sentence, I feel I don't get a fair deal. The words I feel could be more accurately replaced with I think. So whenever somebody says, I feel that, whenever the word that is after the word I feel, it means I think. They replaced the word feel, think, with the word feel. Now, why would somebody do that? Why would somebody want to confuse you by saying, I feel that I didn't get a fair deal, instead of saying, I think I didn't get a fair deal? You see, in our world, it's a deeper validation to say I feel than it is to say I think. If you say I think I didn't get a fair deal, somebody may argue with you, well, maybe you did. If you say I feel like I didn't get a fair deal, somebody's going to feel bad for you. So feeling is used as a replacement for thinking as a way of validating what's only a thought. You're going to make the thought a little deeper by talking about what you feel. But of course, it's not about what you feel. It's really about what you think. Whenever the word that, T-H-A-T, follows the word feel, it really means the person is thinking, not feeling. Another phrase that people use is as if. I feel as if I'm living with a monster. Right? That really means I perceive. I think. I feel like is another way of changing the word feeling to thinking. So when I feel like a failure. That really means I think I'm a failure. I perceive myself as a failure. Now, why is this important? Who cares? Well, who cares is that if you want to be able to identify your feelings, you want to be able to separate feelings from thought. Now, they go together. I'm telling you, when you have feelings going on, there's a lot of thinking going on. When you have thinking going on, there's a lot of feelings going on. But you want to at least distinguish between the active feeling and the active thought when you're talking about it, especially when you're communicating about it. There's another word, it. The word it is another escape from feelings when people say it. They say, it feels sad, instead of saying, I feel sad. It feels like people replace the word I with it. And that's another one where you can notice that they're moving away. Names or nouns referring to people. It's not necessary to use all the words feel when we're actually expressing a feeling. You know, we can say, I'm feeling irritated, or we could say, I'm irritated. There are certain ones that are real emotions. But here are words. There are some words that are just so tricky for emotions. There are certain words that sound like emotions, but they are a passive expression of an event that happened. And it again goes back to perception, and I'll give you an example of it. We talked about the ones where you have somebody who says, I feel like, or I feel that. Now, in this case, we're going to talk about words that have an ED ending. If it has an ED ending, and here it comes, I feel abandoned. Well, now, if you go to most therapists and you tell them you feel abandoned, they're going to validate that. They're going to say to you, oh, I know that feeling. But you see, abandoned isn't a feeling. Abandoned is something that happened to you. Now, when you were abandoned, then what happened to you? If you're abandoned, what happens to you? I feel abandoned and I feel scared. Okay, scared, I believe. But abandoned puts the blame on somebody else, and it really doesn't describe a feeling. I feel abused. There is no such feeling as abused. I feel that someone has abused me. I think that someone has abused me. And how do you feel when someone abused you? Either you feel sad or you feel angry. Big difference. I feel betrayed. Oh, that should be a real feeling, don't you think? No, there it goes again. Someone betrayed me. What did that make me feel? Did that make me feel angry? Did that make me feel sad? Did that make me feel scared? There are real emotions, but not described by these words. Now, here's the unfortunate thing. Most therapists make the mistake of confusing feelings and thinking with their patients. Why? Because the patients take the shortcut. They talk about thinking and feeling interchangeably, and the therapist doesn't want to correct them. But a therapist's job is to correct a patient so they could understand the difference between thinking and feeling. The therapist's job is to say, well, that's what you were thinking. What were you feeling? But therapists get tired. They get lazy. Here are some of the other words that people use as a passive expression of victimhood, of something that happened to them, but they use this as emotion. I feel coerced. I feel cheated. I feel cornered. I feel diminished. I feel distrusted. I feel let down. Now, let down is an interesting one. Who let you down? I feel manipulated. Well, what happened when you were manipulated? I feel neglected. I feel overworked. I feel rejected. Rejected. Now, there's a big one. Don't you feel rejected? Haven't you felt rejected in your life? No. Someone may have rejected you, but then what happened to you? You got angry? You got sad? Those are the emotions underneath it. So you want to learn to distinguish between the behavior of someone else. I feel unseen, they say. I feel used. Used. Well, when someone takes advantage of you, what do you feel? This is Armand DeMille with you, with the positive mind. So, are they likely to have feelings? Are there feelings that people do have that are real? You know, what are those feelings that people have? There are good ones. There are bad ones. There are like you could be really angry. You could feel, you know, separate from people. You could feel happy. You could feel things. But usually trying to learn to express your feelings is very important. Now, think about this. If you wanted to see whether or not you're in agreement about this, try the following. What do you think of this statement? I feel you don't love me. What's wrong with that statement? I perceive that you don't love me, and it makes me feel very sad. I'm sad that you're leaving. Almost. Almost. But you see, with a little that in there, it's really you're leaving and I feel sad. I'm sad that you're leaving blames you, the leaving person, for the feeling. When you don't greet me, I feel neglected. Well, you know, what's the real feeling that's underneath it? So it gets very difficult. If you're somebody who wants to communicate your feelings and learn about your feelings, it's really kind of simple. First of all, start off with the very simple three words. I feel. And then just follow it with one word. Now, you're going to have a lot of questions about this, and of course, I'll take your calls today at 212-209-2900. But starting off with learning to distinguish what feelings are and what thoughts are is a very critical, important part of learning, especially a part of therapy. Emotions are they're not fun. There's some fun. Love is wonderful. Joy is wonderful. Sad is terrible. You know what I mean? Anger feels bad. There's good feelings and bad feelings. But where would you be without feelings? You know, you'd be like those people who think all the time. So a little while ago, many years ago, in fact, I created a little thing. And I want to try to recreate it for you today. This was done, and I just got a request from someone in an email who sent me a letter and said, 10 years ago, you did this thing. Can you tell me where it is so I could get it online, you know, because we have all of our archives online. She wanted to find it online so she could listen to it again. So today I'm going to do it just for her. Just for her, I found it. And this was my image. My image was that we were working to, it's like like a wonderful entertainment world. Like you go into this circus, you go into this place of entertainment, and in this place you walk in and here are all these feelings all over the place that you're being welcomed to. So I want you to imagine yourself, my friends, going to an amusement park. And in this amusement park is called the Wonderful World of Feelings. Let me see now. So welcome to the Wonderful World of Feelings. Our latest attraction created for the incredibly exciting journey through inner space. Step right up, my friends, and travel through the core of your being directly to your emotional self. Travel at your own risk. Keep small children away from the edges. Children don't like the edges of feelings. And all similarities to living creatures is purely coincidental. The management takes no responsibility whatsoever for anything ever, but on your left, through the dark corridor, you will find two of our most popular rides, Longing and Anguish. Known for their endless depth and incomparable feelings of having a reason for not doing anything positive with your life. Yes, you could go right on to Longing and Anguish and do nothing with your life whatsoever, and you could stay on there forever. But next is a ride that has been with us from the very first day. We call this ride The Same. It has footsteps on the floor that you can easily follow. Many people come to our park only for The Same. It has not changed, not one iota in 20 years. Every day you ride The Same. You get on and you do the same thing and feel the same thing and just keep going for The Same. It's exactly like the time before. It's our safest ride. It has no extremes, no surprises, nothing that you have to be afraid of. Just keep living The Same. Now over there in the park, my friends, you can enter the world of possibility. Now, this ride can take you to places that you may have read about in magazines and seen in movies. It's lined with unmarked doors, you know. Possibility. And it is never attended by people who love The Same. If you love The Same, you don't go to possibilities. Take the elevator down to the bottom floor and walk through that muddy area called Love. Oh, Love. At first, it looks familiar. Like two other rides, it looks like friendship or it looks like sex. Love often gets confused for those two rides. But you know you're in love when you realize there's nothing to hold on to. Nope, there's no safety net here because it makes the trip more exciting. And if you want a real rush, go to the Anger Tram. For one ticket, you can ride forever, as many people do. Further on, you can take the Guilt and Depression trip. They certainly keep you occupied with nothing to do. And on the other hand, if you're bored with guilt or the depression trip, you can exchange your tickets for the anger trip just to get off the treadmill. You know, if you could either go on depression or anger, it's a choice. And if you feel a slight chill and you want to get quickly warmed, head over for jealousy. Jealousy is a great temperature riser. Envy is also available within a few steps of jealousy. Either one of those two will get your blood boiling. All of these rides are great, and when you completed the bunch, there's a little surprise waiting for you at a ride we call the exit. Everybody goes through the exit sometime in their life. Some take the trip often. Others wait till the last minute. Just as the park is closing. Either way, the exit is our best event. Lastly, we're sorry to announce that our new attraction, Compassion, is closed for renovation. Seems that many folks wanted to be the object of compassion, but very, very few, volunteered to be the subject of compassion. So, you know, everybody wanted to be the object, but not many people wanted to feel, so we closed that one. We're redesigning now, and we expect to complete it before the turn of the next century. Now, following your exit, you may choose to remain excited. Most, however, choose to exert great effort and remain involved. Remaining involved is another ride. It's a cruise, which persists indefinitely. You will find this journey to be effortless, although somewhat tiring. especially if you'd mastered the kiddie rides. You know, the kiddie rides are momentum, inertia, have to, and should. Once you get on remaining involved, my friends, you ride forever. This is Armand DeMille with you with A Positive Mind, talking to you about feelings. Of course, that wonderful, that can be had. You know, you can get a copy of that by listening to our archives today. You know, if you want to go to the archives of the radio show. Today's a funny day. We're going to take your calls right after our break. And I'm going to play, I guess I have to play something related to Carousel. In fact, I will play Carousel. I'm going to play you something by Ellie Stone, a magnificent piece about living on the carousel. And we're going to, when we take our short break, when we come back, I want to be able to take your calls at 212-209-2900. Here's another thought for you. We're going to talk about the difference between thinking and feeling, and you could ask your questions, and I'll tell you what I know, you know, what I believe. Now, here's a question for you. You know, the next week, we don't know exactly when we will be with you. The fund drive for WBAI starts. There's a December fund drive, which is raising money. You know, we're like General Motors. We're going, instead of going to the government for a bailout, we're asking you, help us. Please make your donations to the station. There are things that the station needs money now. And starting next week, for the next 2 weeks, we're going to be coming to you and asking you for it with some really special programming. The next scheduled program I have, I know, is the Wednesday following next week. Do you know what date that is, Stephanie? And then, so we see, it should be 9th, it should be the 16th, it should be the 17th, I think. So, but you can go to my website, thepositivemind.com, and you'll be able to check it out. But this thing about supporting the station is a beautiful thing. It's just a beautiful thing. It's just like a wonderful thing that we keep going. Because it's a station that allows you to have your feelings. We don't deny your feelings, not just your thoughts. It's not just about what you think. It's also about your heart. And having the positive mind on WBAI is a program that says the following. The station is saying the following to you. We're saying we value your heart. We value what you feel. We'd like to know what you feel. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to know what you think and what you feel. So when we come back, we're going to be talking to you more about the difference between thinking and feeling and your confusion about it, because it is very confusing. A man came to me the other day and he said to me, I don't know. He said, my wife wants a divorce because she says I don't feel enough. And he was weeping. And I said, but you feel. He says, yeah, she says that I don't feel. And he was feeling right there. And then I said, what's it like being threatened? And he got angry. And he said, yeah, I'm really angry about this. He said, because I'm angry being told I don't feel. But I said, but you are feeling. You're feeling angry. And he said, well, are these feelings? And he was confused about it, too. And here's what I learned. Many people have feelings, but they don't know how to identify them. They don't know how to identify when they are feeling something. So when they feel something, they translate it into a thought. And they talk in words of thoughts, and they confuse the other person into thinking, they don't know what you're talking about. You know, where are your feelings? Where's your heart? And I would also like to say that most people who ever accuse anybody of not having feelings, that they shut them down in many ways. That they don't want them to have the feelings. That they, in ways, they will do things to counteract the full expression of the feelings. You'll learn more about that as we go through our phone calls today. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI. And we come back from our break. We'll be taking your calls at 212-209-2900. We'll take a short break right now. Thank you.
WBAI, New York, New York, New York, New York, WBAI, WBAI, New York, New York, New York, New York. We're the New Orleans Jazz Vipers at WBAI, New York City.
TalkBack is your gathering place for the free and fair exchange of information and ideas, heard here Monday through Thursday from 3 until 5 in the afternoon. I'm Hugh Hamilton. Join me as we explore the issues and events making news across the nation and around the world with expert guests, insightful analysis,
stand by.
And of course, your
five,
comments, questions,
four,
and observations.
Three,
that's
TalkBack two,
right here,
one,
WBAI, go. New York.
Candies, carousels and calliopes, fortune tellers in glass cases. We will always remember these merry-go-rounds, quickly turning, quickly turning for you. Turning, turning, turning till you can see. We're on a carousel, a crazy carousel. And now we go around and we go around. And now we spin around high above the ground and down again around and around and up again around again. So high above the ground, here we gotta yell. We're on a carousel, a crazy carousel. We're on a Ferris wheel. A wheel within a wheel, and suddenly we feel the stars begin to wheel, and down again, around and up again, around and up again, around. So high above the ground, we feel we got a yell. We're on a carousel, a crazy carousel, carnivals and cotton candies, carousels and calliopes, crazy clowns chasing brass rings, soda pops and rock candy trees. Merry-go-rounds, quickly turning for you and me. And the whole world madly turning, turning, turning till you can't see. We're on a carousel, a crazy carousel. And now we go around again, we go around. And now we spin around, but high above the ground and down again around and up again around. So high above the ground, we feel we gotta yield. We're on a carousel, a crazy carousel. We're on a Ferris wheel, a crazy Ferris wheel. Oh, we're within a wheel, suddenly we feel the stars begin to reel. And down again, around and up again, around and up again, around. So high above the ground, we feel we gotta yield. We're on a carousel, a crazy carousel. We're on a carousel, a crazy carousel. And now we go around again, we go around. And now we spin around, we're high above the ground. And down again, around and up again, around. So high above the ground, we feel we gotta yield. We're on a carousel, a crazy carousel. Carnivals and cotton candies, carousels and calliopes, Cupid dolls with painted faces, tricky shell games and missing bees. Merry-go-rounds, quickly turning for you and me. And the whole world madly turning, turning, turning till you can see. We're on a carousel.
Ellie Stone, who is Jacques Brel's Alive and Well, from the album, from the musical Jacques Brel's Alive and Well. That was Ellie Stone doing that original production. Amazing. We're on a carousel and we just can't get off the carousel. You know, that's what seems to be happening. And it seems to be happening that the world is spinning off the carousel, you know. 212-209-2900. The wonderful, the amazing, the fantastic, the unbelievable human. There is one person who's walking on this planet who doesn't need, but deserves great gratitude. That guy, I gotta tell you, this is a guy who is just a superhero. Imagine somebody who is able to, in the middle of great distress, put everything together so that millions of people can communicate with each other from all parts of the globe, no matter what the duress, no matter what they lean on, if they threw a pail of water on this guy while he was trying to do it, he would still do his job. I'm talking about Michael G. Haskins, our radio engineer here at WBAI. I can't believe what he does. He's an amazing engineer, amazing. He does these wonderful things, and I'm not just saying this. I mean, I watch what he goes through, and I think, oh, we're so grateful to have him. We are so lucky to have him here as the man he is and what he does and how he holds things in balance and just punches it out one right after the other. Beautiful, beautiful guy. 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Armand.
Good afternoon.
This is Taliba from Roselle, New Jersey.
Hello, Taliba.
First, let me thank you for your show. I listen to WBAI from the time I get up until the time I turn the radio off. But I make it a point to sit to listen to your show.
I'm a seating kind of show. You, Hamilton, you could walk around.
No,
you know, Bernard, you could kind of dance.
Yeah, but you can't do that with your show. And I like your show because it speaks to my interest. On your show today, you're talking about feelings. Thank you for that beautiful walk through the amusement park of feelings.
Oh, I'm glad you liked it.
I'm one of the ones that would open the door to possibilities.
Sure.
always. But I would like to say this about feelings. As a young person, I had feelings that were never considered.
Mm-hmm.
And I often found myself in a corner somewhere crying because I needed to speak about what I was feeling. And there was no outlet for it. It took me until I was darn near 30 years old to realize that my feelings were my feelings. And whether someone else recognized them or not, they were still my feelings and they were valid. I think we live in a culture where we are taught to pay more attention to what we think than what we feel. And I think you're absolutely right. Thinking does not describe clearly what we feel.
No, it doesn't. And now that's a wonderful thing. You've also learned not only to feel what you feel, because part of it is identifying it. Because if you're a little child and you're told not to feel these things, they get muddled. You don't know what you're feeling anymore. I hate my mother. I feel guilty. You know what I mean? It gets very confusing.
No.
But
you spoke about guilt. The only time I've ever experienced a feeling of guilt and knew it to be that was when I was trying to comply with what someone said I should do or I should be, and it conflicted with what I was feeling and what I really wanted to do and be.
Sure.
So I reached a point where I try to be considerate of other people. I always try to take other people's feelings into consideration. But I must stand on what I feel, and I must know what I feel, and I try hard to get people to understand what it is I feel.
See, now there's a question, Taliba. You bring up a very good question, because now I have a question about ethical values and integrity. How can a person have integrity if they're not aware of their emotions? How can a person just have like a kind of an intellectual integrity? I know what's good, but I don't feel anything. I know what's right, but I don't feel anything. And many people do. There are many preachers out there who feel very little, but they're always preaching about what's right. I think integrity goes along with connecting with your emotions, and I think you, Taliba, have your finger on that button. You know what we're talking about.
Well, I only know what you're talking about because of what I've experienced. And I've called you. This is the second time I've spoken to you, the second time I've gotten through to you. Our journey try to get through to you almost at least three times a week.
No, that's great.
But this is the second time I've been able to get through to you. And I need to say this because I think even though I'm darn near 70 years old, I am still struggling with people trying to get people to understand this is what I feel.
Sure.
You might not see this. You might not believe this. You might not understand this. You might not even know how this is possible. But it doesn't change the fact that I feel this.
Well, good for you, Taliba. You've got another 30 years to practice this.
No, I've got another 60 years to practice.
Okay.
I'm going to live to be 130. Thank you for listening.
Keep going, and thank you so much for being there.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Armand DeMille. What people. 212-209-2900, Armand DeMille here. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, is that me?
That's you.
Hey, it's Diane.
Hi, Diane.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I called a way long time ago.
I remember your voice.
Love your show. Anyway, yeah, I'm kind of on the other end.
Are you in Staten Island?
No, I'm up in Greenwich.
Greenwich, Connecticut. Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not much of a feeler. I've always prided myself on being a thinker. I can think my way out of anything.
Do you get sad ever, Diane?
Sure. Yeah.
What makes you sad?
I don't know, a lot of stuff.
Like what?
Stuff in my life. My job situation. I'm still a security guard. You know, I'm way underemployed. I should be working in IT.
And do you get lonely?
Yeah, I do. I've actually been with my partner for 18 years, but she's severely mentally ill.
Yeah, so that's very difficult.
And that's
so lonely,
yeah,
and sad, and you get angry too.
I try. I'm not really in the relationship. I'm not really allowed to have my feelings.
Why not?
So I try to.
Not allowed? You mean you get
not
punished?
Not allowed because.
Well, yeah. In effect, you chose what people like you do. You know, because you're not comfortable with your feelings. Someone like you, Diane, chooses partners who restrict you from expressing your emotions as a way of controlling your own emotions. Because these are your feelings. You could say anything you want. The world's not going to come to an end. But we very often choose people who suppress our feelings as a way of suppressing our own feelings, and then we blame them. You know, what about love? How about that feeling of love, Diane? It sounds to me like you have a great, enormous heart.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah? So what do you love?
What do I love?
Yeah, what do you love?
Oh, I don't know, a little of everything, I think.
Yeah?
I
do you have any pets?
Oh, tons, yeah.
I thought so.
Three dogs and five cats.
That's what I imagined. Great. You love them one at a time?
Oh, sure.
Every one of them?
Not good to play favorites, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're a very soft-hearted security guard.
Yep.
You know, you're a pushover security guard. As most of them are, because, you know, security guard means I'm trying to protect myself. I'm trying to protect the gates from letting anybody in. And that's what you do.
Just a fairly medium-waged, unskilled job.
Yeah, but no, it's not just an average job. It's a very specific job, but it also means you're spending your time guarding. And you may want to choose a profession where you don't spend your time being on guard. You know?
What I'm doing is just hiding out. I've got a little shack.
I hear.
I hide.
And do you listen to WBAI in your little shack?
I do. I listen to it online because I don't have good reception.
Am I in your shack?
I have you on the shack, yeah.
Am I in the shack right now?
Well, the speaker's turned down, but yeah.
Great. Thanks for welcoming me in. Thanks a lot for calling, Diane.
All right. Thank you very much.
Sure. In the shack. In the security zone. 212-209-2900. Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand. This is Tom in Queens.
Hello, Tom in Queens.
I want to say I felt very happy to hear you talk about how the world sometimes rewards people who behave in an overly emotive manner. I've worked in the world of theater and the arts for some time where that kind of diva behavior is even more rewarded than I think in many other spheres. And
you know, it's a funny way the way it is rewarded, Tom. It's rewarded, but it's not. The diva who does the hysterical kind of thing either has to have a great achievement already, and then they get there. But you can't be that way on your way up, because people just won't pay attention to you.
Some people who are a little green, sometimes they'll conflate the two. They'll take the diva behavior as being evidence of something like a badge of honor, sort of.
They don't take your sensibilities, right?
Well, I've learned over time. Actually, hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
I've learned over time, actually, to strategically, if I really want something in a professional context, to just stage a kind of flame out and just put on the act.
And did you stage that flame out recently in a role you played, like on the waterfront or something?
No, I mean within a...
I know, but in the theater. In the theater?
Well, actually, I work on the back end of things. I work in the more production side of things.
And the production side of things. And have you ever taken on a role of being able to act out the emotional stuff?
Yes.
And
I have.
Where would it be? Give me an example of it.
Well, I guess in my previous work, when I was working as a performer, there were a couple kind of like really high drama Roman plays that were just really kind of emotions bouncing off the rafters kind of stuff.
Do you remember yourself as a high? Do you remember your lines?
Not really. No.
None at all.
No, but actually, I also want to express that I was very happy to hear you talk about people staging or couching their thoughts as feelings, and I found the work of the Nonviolent Communication Center,
yes,
really an excellent primer into stating your feelings as feelings and your thoughts as thoughts.
Well, that's a very good thing. Marshall Rosenberg, who does the Nonviolent Communications, does distinguish that beautifully. And I think that's a good book. I could recommend that for people who want to learn more about it. Nonviolent Communication by Marshall Rosenberg. That's what you're referring to, right?
Yes, and people working in the arts and activism definitely need to read that.
Yeah, because
absolutely. A lot of high drama.
Why do you think especially people who are in activism?
Well, I think it requires a lot of passion and to be motivated to participate in activism. And I also think that in the kind of era that we're living and working in activism, there's the inclination to validate people's feelings. And at face value, like no matter what a person says, if they say that they feel that, then you accept it because no one wants to steamroll the authoritarian and you know, put down anyone else's feelings.
Well, that's a good point. Now, there's a difference. Let me make a point here. There's a difference between reaction and feelings. A reaction is that sometimes people will have a reaction, and it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a feeling, it's a reaction. You know, like if you can have a fast reaction that doesn't really mean that you're in touch with the depth of your emotion. So you can't say, you know, just as a reaction, if somebody says to you, here's a piece of pie, and you say, oh, I love you. You can't validate the I love you because the person's responding to a piece of pie. That almost worked. You get the idea. The idea is reaction is not necessarily a statement of emotion. It
right.
could be a statement of a quick feeling. And you're right. In this world nowadays, we tend to validate reactions as real.
Mm-hmm. And then there are some personalities who take advantage of that.
Yes.
Knowingly or not. But I think it would be to everyone's benefit to have a better grip on what their feelings are and be able to articulately state them. Because in the long run, you're better off being able to say what you're feeling or what you're thinking rather than confusing the two, even if in the short term, strategically, you maybe get some things out of relationships, or you're really better off, I think. I found that to be the case. I'm happier now for being able to say what I'm feeling when I'm doing it and what I'm evaluating when I'm evaluating it, because I feel more honest with myself and the people around me.
Nice going, Tom. So. Nice. Thanks for calling in, and thanks for your help.
Thank you, Armand.
Thanks. 212-209-2900. We're taking your calls today because it's the last time for a couple of weeks we'll be able to have you on air with us. 212-209-2900. However, when I am not on air with you over the next 2 weeks in a predictable way, you could go back to thepositivemind.com and listen to the archives, and also you could send me emails. I'll actually have time to respond. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. You're on the air. Hi there. Hello there. Hi there. You're on the air.
You had that you were talking about. Have you got a ride called sarcasm?
You know, that's a very interesting ride, sarcasm.
When you were doing the thing, you sounded so, Armand, you usually sound like such a sweet guy, but you sounded so sarcastic.
Well, you know, sarcasm is a very interesting ride. It's a very interesting way to do it. You know, in the world of sarcasm, people very often go there to avoid emotion as well. Do you ever do that?
Oh, sure. Sometimes I do it to make a point.
Yeah, and what point?
Which I think was what you were doing.
Yeah, how does it work to make a point? It's a combination. You know, sarcasm requires an intellect. One of the things I remember about sarcasm is that sarcasm is not a tool of people who don't have enough intellect to understand it. So you have to have, if you're going to use sarcasm, you're going to be talking to people who are usually above average intelligence in order for it to be effective. Because otherwise you're just putting somebody down and they don't even know you're doing it. But using sarcasm is very often a way of trying to say something to somebody in a way that's almost witty. But it uses some, you have to use some convoluted thought to understand it. Personally, I prefer direct, honest communication. You know, but it's useful. It's there.
What, the what's your, that thing you wrote, that you were reading, is that a piece from somewhere?
No, I made it up. I wrote it. I wrote it from a long time ago.
It did sound sarcastic.
Well, there is some sarcasm to it, sure. Travel at your own risk. Keep small children away from the edges.
What was the first part? It was the first or second thing you said. Kind of hit home with me. I can't remember which one it was.
Travel at your own risk. Keep small children away from the edges because...
That wasn't it. It was
and then I talked about longing and anguish, known for their endless depths and incomparable feelings of having a reason for not doing anything positive with your life.
There you go. Bingo.
You've been around people like that, huh?
It was like you were talking to me.
You've done that in your life. You've spent your life just in longing and anguish and just not moving anywhere.
99%.
Not anymore.
No. It's on the way.
What's changed?
I'm going. No. Nothing's changed.
You've changed.
No, haven't.
Hmm. Well, it's interesting.
There's no change. I've never changed, Alma. I never change.
I don't believe you.
No, it's true.
I don't believe you. I love the way you say that. I don't believe you. You're a man who's far too sensitive to have not changed.
Ain't that the truth? I ain't that, no, well, I'm far too sensitive.
Yeah.
But sensitivity alone is not enough to help change.
Huh.
It requires other things as well.
Do you love people in general?
Nah, I do, but I don't want to be around them.
I don't blame you.
I am becoming less and less. I used to be a social guy, but I'm becoming more and more reclusive. I have an associate's degree, a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, and I'm driving a delivery van. I think I may very well be the most educated delivery boy in all of the state of New York. I'm thinking of putting my diploma in the van as a way of saying education should not be just for the successful.
You know, it's a beautiful thing. I can imagine.
But
with your
another part of it. Another part of it is the less contact I'm having with people nowadays, the more I like it. The more I like it. I don't really like it. My wife thinks I should go see a doctor for depression, but I've seen doctors before, Armin. Are you a psychiatrist or are you an MD?
Yeah, no, not an MD, but you should come and see me. In fact, I'll tell you what.
I could not afford you, Armin.
Yeah, but you listen. Next Wednesday. Next Wednesday, I'm going
to
make
it. You know, I go from WBAI to Rush Limbaugh. I go back and forth. And
okay, now I've got to get going. Wait, before you do, what's your name again?
Call me Jack.
Call you Jack. Jack, you listen in next Wednesday. I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse.
I've heard that offer before.
Jack, you're beautiful. Listen, I wish I were on the other side of your delivery. Thank you for loving me. Thank you. Thank you. Good respect. Good. 212-209-2900. One more call. Just one more because Jack is such a beautiful guy. Let's take one more. Hi there, on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Hey, Armand. It's my lucky day. It's Keith calling from Jersey City.
Hey, Steve. Keith.
Yeah, Keith. That's it. I don't know where I'm at with my feelings, Armand.
Yeah, most people don't.
Yeah, you know, sometimes me not knowing gets me in more trouble than it's worth. I don't know.
It's hard to explain. So you're trying to learn about it. You know that book, Nonviolent Communication, by Marshall Rosenberg, is really helpful, that one of our guys mentioned a little earlier, in being able to distinguish it. But what emotion do you get in the most trouble with?
Well, sometimes I get in trouble when people react to something that I say or I do that seems like it's distant, you know.
Yeah.
I had a death in the family All right. Am I still with me?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, I had a death in the family a couple of days ago.
Oh.
And thank you. And
who died?
A very close cousin.
Wow, close to you. Somebody you really miss.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you know, it's so funny. When people pass that are close, it's almost like they get closer because you really think about them a lot more.
Oh. What was your cousin's name?
Pat.
Pat? Man or woman?
It was a woman, my cousin Patty.
Well, I want you to say something. I want you to do something because some people believe there's an afterlife. If Patty could be listening to you right this minute across the airwaves, if she's crossing over in space and she just happens to have BAI tuned in, what would you say to her? Talk directly to her.
I say, baby, I'm glad you're in no more pain and everything is copacetic.
Yeah.
That's what she used to always say. Is everything copacetic? So that's exactly what I would say to her. Everything is copacetic.
Patty, everything is copacetic. Yeah. Keith, I want to thank you for calling in.
And thank you for your show, Armand. Have a nice day.
You too. Armand DeMille here with you with The Positive Mind. You can stay tuned for our, you can look at the calendar of events by going to thepositivemind.com or WBAI.org. And you can see when we're next going to be on because we're doing the fun drive for the next 2 weeks. Wonderful to be with you folks. Be back with you soon. You can send an email to Armand, A-R-M-A-N-D, at thepositivemind.com.
In Philadelphia on Saturday, December 6th, International Day of Solidarity, Free Mumia Abu Jamal.